Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
But if we can come to him with an agreement, with a heart that says, yes, Lord, I am yours. I want to serve you. There's a place we can go. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And that word cleanse is that awesome Greek tense, the present tense. There's a continual sense where we can go and be free and have a heart of freedom toward God and toward others. We can be who God called us to be, even though it is a process, thank God. But I'll tell you, these are real issues that we cannot duck and just pretend that they don't exist. Satan is out to get everyone that he can. You know, I thought about something Paul talked about in his ministry. I think this is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Some of the issues that Paul was dealing with had to do with freedom in Christ. He set us free, but free for what? Free from what and free for what? We better get that right. Free from sin so that we can serve God. And so here's Paul talking about freedoms that he had. But he said, I'm not going to exercise my freedoms. I am more concerned about the ministry God's given me. I want to be used of God. I want to help people. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help people. This is not about me and what I can get out of life, what I can possess, what I can, you know, what pleasures I can enjoy. Okay? So he talks about his rights even to be supported financially. He says, I'm not even going to worry about that. I'm going to work and I'm going to do everything I can so that I can serve God. I'm in the wrong chapter. There it is. Down in the end of chapter 9, verse 24, he makes a comparison with a human runner, somebody who's training to run in the Olympics, let's say. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. All right, how do they do that? Now let's go into the illustration here. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They're taking it seriously. God's called me, I'm called to be a runner in this instance. If I'm going to take my job as a runner seriously, I can't just do anything I please and live a careless life and expect to get out there and do anything. But Paul's not just talking about himself. He's talking about us. God has called us to a certain purpose in our lives. Is that what defines our lives? Is that how we think and how we see ourselves in the world around us? God help us. Okay? All right, they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. You get the image of somebody who's, man, I'm going to beat Muhammad Ali. That was way back in the day, but I'm going to beat so-and-so. And look at me, I'm such a great fighter, but you're just beating the air. What good is that? No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Do you think it matters how we live and whether we yield ourselves in some of these areas of the old nature? You know, we have had a rash in the last year or so of very sad stories. Many times of famous ministers. And it's come out that they've had this sin going on in their life. Not just some little act, but this has been a pattern. And they're disqualified. See, this is what Paul's concerned about. If I just give vent to my flesh and I live to please myself and think I can have it both ways, I'm not fit for service. And you run into some of these people, they're not fit to come up and stand before God's people because they're living a double life. They're living contrary to what they're preaching. Now, we are all sinners and we all come short, starting with me. But if I'm living a double life and I'm agreeing with sin in some area in my life, that's another story. God help us. You know, we remember, I'm not even going to mention his name, but a man who was famous, has written books and speeches, just had a worldwide influence. And when he passed, it came out that he had had some moral failings toward the end of his life. You don't even hear his name mentioned anymore. It just literally obliterated a whole lifetime of ministry because he didn't walk in what he preached. God help us, everyone. He wants to use you to help me and me to help you and us to walk together as members of the body of Christ. You see all these things. There are other scriptures that warn against, you know, sexual sin because our bodies, they belong to him. He purchased this body. It does not belong to me to use any old way I please. Now, thank God he gives me food and he lets me rest. There's a whole lot of things that are gifts of God for which I'm thankful. But just to live because, oh, this or that makes me feel good, you're starting down a road all too often which leads to bondage and compromise, and the devil gets in and he causes that compromise. God help every one of us. Praise God. Well, there's so many other scriptures you could use. I'll read one more. I know we want to get to the communion, but I want to read Colossians chapter 3. We started in chapter 1. Because Paul has another example of what to do and what not to do. And he talks about what God has done in the life, the new life he's given to us in chapter 3. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things and so forth. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. There's the scripture. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. So he's talking to sinners, isn't he? Thank God the gospel is for sinners. Thank God. But not sinners who want to continue to live in that. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice. You know, hate, wanting bad stuff to happen to people because you have a bad attitude toward them. Slander. Sharing negative things about people that may not even be true, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You see the sense of process there? It means it hasn't all happened yet, and I have needs, and I'm going to have to be honest with God and look to him. I'm going to have to live in that place where the cross and the blood flows because I have these needs. But if I start agreeing with the things that are wrong, then I'm going down the wrong road and Satan has got a strong hold upon my life. God help everyone. He is helping us. All right. Anyway, talks about there's no Jew or Gentile. Therefore, as God's chosen people, you want to know who God's chosen people are? Those who are Christ's. As God's chosen people, and so forth, talks about how we're to be with one another. I want to go ahead and not drag this out, but I want to read something that is relevant to what we're talking about this morning. And I just pray the Lord will help me to set this out in a way that accomplishes his purpose and by his Spirit. Because we're talking about communion here. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is one of the main scriptures that people rightly use about communion. And Paul is dealing with a problem. That's why he brings it up. Because they would come together to eat, And Paul says, "What the way you're going about that is not what God has in mind, because you got the rich people who are bringing their own supper and just having a big picnic, and some of them are getting drunk. And you got other people that are poor and they don't have enough. And you're not paying one bit of attention to one another. It's just a selfish picnic." So that's not what communion is about. God wants us to have a sense of love and community one with another, and to stand with each other. All right? So anyway, then he talks about the communion itself, but then he goes into this. "So then," verse 27, "whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord." Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, without a sense of what this is really about, eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. You've died. Thank God for the rest of this. If we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined. Why? So that we will not be finally condemned with the world. I'll tell you, everything God does to get our attention is motivated by His love, to pull us out, to help us, to set us free. I just pray the Lord will help me, because I know this principle about examining ourselves needs to be out there. It's part of the Word. But is the Lord saying, if you haven't been perfect this week, you can't? No, that's not what this is about. But this is about somebody who has got an unresolved issue, a choice in their lives they have made, and they are not really in fellowship with what's going on. Need to have the grace to sit there. And I don't want, if there's anybody who finds themselves in this place, I don't want anybody to look at you and say, "Oh, what's wrong with you?" I want everybody to, I would have a respect for somebody who has enough grace to say, "Wait a minute, I got some things that need to be gotten right here. I am out with somebody and I have harbored a terrible spirit," you know, whatever it is. This sin I need to repent of. Now, if there's, whatever there is, if there's something that is a repentant heart that wants to agree and wants to be part of what the Lord is doing, that's what the cross is about. There's an open door for you. Don't you hold back. If we held back on that kind of a ground because we weren't perfect, nobody would come. Thank God for the blood that was shed. Praise God. And I know that time is getting away here, so I want to go ahead and just step aside, but I pray that God will help every one of us to live lives that are worthy of the Lord. We can do it because He's helping us. We don't learn all at once, but if we're willing, God can give us the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that we need to see things as they really are with respect to ourselves and everything that's going on around us, so we are in harmony with Him and not with the world and not with our old nature. That's what it comes down to. And God will help us all the way. Praise God.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.